Good evening. For Torah Jews throughout the ages, Elul until Yom Kippur has always been a critical time. From Elul until Yom Kippur, we know that it is called an Eis Ratzon. An Eis Ratzon means that during this time, it's a time of favor. And the Gemara tells us that Eis Ratzon Milsihi, that's a, it's a very significant thing. And even though Hashem accepts tshuva from people who repent with a full heart throughout the whole year, these days are chosen and are more prepared as days of compassion. Obviously, we would not want to waste even one moment of these days. Now, these days are chosen and are more prepared as compassion because Moshe Rabbeinu ascended up Mount Sinai on Rosh Chodesh Elul to accept the second Luchos. He remained there for 40 days and 40 nights until he descended on Yom Kippur, when Hashem forgave the Jewish nation for the sin of the golden calf. And from then on, until and including our days, this year as well, these 40 days were sanctified for generations as an Eis Ratzon, as a time of favor. You know, the importance and the value of each moment of the Eis Ratzon reminds me of an event that a radio station put on in New York, I think this goes back almost 20 years ago. It seems that the radio station wanted to attract additional listeners. So they created a promotion, and the promotion was that they were going to pick a name out of random for those that were listening in, that sent in their names, and the winner would have an opportunity to spend 2 minutes in a bank vault in gathering as much money as they possibly can during those 2 minutes. So, of course, the day came, and they selected the winner. And a few days later, the winner came down to this bank, and that's exactly what happened. When they said go, they started the 2 minutes. You can imagine how important each moment of the 2 minutes were. This individual who was able to gather fistfuls of money, cash galore, all different types of bills from the bank's vault. No time to be tired. When the 2 minutes were up, that's it. The bank's time of favor is up as well. And the way the story goes, and again, this is a true story, the individual was able to gather well over $100,000 in those 2 minutes. That we all can understand is a very important 2 minutes, a time of favor by the bank and the radio station that can enrich someone. L'havdil, we have our own Eis Ratzon, our own time of favor. And those are the days beginning Be'ezus Hashem, tonight, Elul, through and including the end of Yom Kippur. These days are so valuable that the Manchester Rosh Hashiva would count each day of Elul to himself as a countdown to Rosh Hashanah, similar to the way one counts days in Sfira as a countdown to Shavuos. The Rosh Hashiva related that during the days of Elul, Rav Itzel of Petterburger used to wear a special garment, and sewn into the garment with 3 oversized pockets, in which Rav Itzel would carry the classic Musa works, Shari Tshuva in one pocket, Chayvus Halvavus in the other pocket, Messias Yisharim in the third pocket. This was his arsenal, which enabled him to prepare for the Day of Judgment for Rosh Hashanah. Rav Naftali Amsterdam, one of the greatest students of Yisrael Salanta, he writes regarding Elul. He writes, I remember in previous years a time when we would gather each day during the month of Elul in the house of Musa next to Admoreinu V'Rabbeinu, Rav Yisrael Salanta, and he would lecture the whole day, and afterwards he would deliver in awe-inspiring words, and we would say the tefillah of Hashivenu Ovin L'Torasecha and Shemoneh Esrei together. And I remember, he writes, during the year he would warn us not to interrupt the learning of Gemara to learn Musa. However, during the time of Elul and the Aser Semeit Tshuva was different, because then a person has the important task to do tshuva, to do all that he can to properly say Al Chet on Yom Kippur. And for us, beginning with tonight, Elul is the preparation for the crucial, literal life and death tefillahs of the Yom Neroim. So important are the Yom Neroim that we need to begin a full month in advance. But the question is, what is the goal of this preparation? What are we trying to accomplish? Beginning with Elul, Rosh Chodesh, in order to enter Rosh Hashanah and the Yemei Hadin of Yom Kippur as well, in order to ensure that we will have a good year for ourselves, our family, and Klal Yisrael. In Sefer Koich Ve'or, Rav Itzvel Petelberg asks, wouldn't it have been better if Yom Kippur would have preceded Rosh Hashanah? Wouldn't it be better if we would first ask forgiveness from Hashem for all our sins? We would then be able to ensure to have a good judgment on Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah at the beginning of the year, that's when the din is written down. First we should ask for mechila, for forgiveness. First there should be Yom Kippur and then Rosh Hashanah. So Rav Itzel answers that the reverse order might well have been beneficial. However, our first goal is to recognize Hashem as the King who renders judgment. And only once we recognize that, and we really accept the fact that Hashem is our Melech, then can we truly comprehend the source of the forgiveness that one is seeking on Yom Kippur. And therefore, Rosh Hashanah, the day on which we declare Hashem as King, must precede Yom Kippur. And then we truly can come to ask for forgiveness, because we feel that we must ask the King who provides us with life. We must ask Him for forgiveness because we have sinned against Him. But knowing that we will face the King for our judgment on the Yom Naroyim is a very daunting thought. And Rav Matisyahu Solomon gives a beautiful mashal, a parable to help us deal with this frightening idea. The mashal is about a king who had a tradition. Every once in a while, the king would send a letter to some of the townspeople announcing that he would be visiting them. And one of the families who received the letter was a poor couple living on the outskirts of town. They lived in a rather dreary old little cottage, old exterior, broken windows, dirty walls, creaky furniture. And when they received the letter from the king, the couple began to discuss what to do. After all, the king is coming to visit them in their house. The husband suggested maybe they should fix the house. The wife protested, "You're right, but we have no money." The husband countered, "But the king is coming to visit us." The wife said, "But the king really knows how we live. So why can't we just leave it this way?" The husband stopped, thought, and he answered, "You know, when the king sends a letter that he's coming, that means that he really wants you to acknowledge that you respect him as king. Look, he knows that we live in poverty. He knows that all the difficulties we live with daily." And the husband said to the wife, "He's really not expecting us to build a palace. He just wants us to acknowledge that he is here, and we know that he exists, and we know that he is our king." And the same applies to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will come to us as our king on Rosh Hashanah. He's not expecting a palace, but he wants us to acknowledge that we know that he is our king. Rosh Hashanah is the Yom HaDin, the day of judgment, proclaimed by the king for everyone. It's the Yom HaDin for the Klal, for the masses, as we say in Rosh Hashanah davening, Val HaMadinois Bo Ye Omer, and on the different nations, it says, Ezoi Lacher Ve'ezo LaShalom, which nation will be defeated by sword, and which ones will live in peace. And it's the Yom HaDin for the individual, as we say, Kol Bo Ye Oilom Oivim Lufanecha Kivnei Moroin. We all go before Hashem like sheep that go through the corralled door. Our plea for a renewed lease on life is more than simply keeping our heart felt and breathing, going for another year. Rav Chetzko Levenstein says, and when we say Zachreinu L'chaim, it's not just a request for life itself. Zachreinu L'chaim encompasses all. What does that mean? It encompasses health, our livelihood. It encompasses having nachas from our children. It includes removing obstacles and hardships. They're all included in our request, Zochreinu L'chaim. That means that the difficulties of June and August are inscribed on Rosh Hashanah. The struggles with earning a livelihood, which we encounter in May and December. The aches and pains of January and March. The trials and the tribulations of making the Shidduch work each time out. All these are inscribed on Rosh Hashanah. The car accidents, the medical diagnosis, which we pray will come back as being a negative diagnosis, no difficulty, no trouble. They happen throughout the year. but they're all inscribed on Rosh Hashanah. The successes that we have, the birth of children and grandchildren, they are inscribed on Rosh Hashanah. The financial successes and the acceptance for those who want to go to school, that's also inscribed on Rosh Hashanah. The celebration of birthdays of the young and of the old, and the acknowledgement of milestones, they're also all inscribed on Rosh Hashanah. There's a story once on Erev Rosh Hashanah in the year 5761, Rapam, the Rosh Hashiva of Tor Vadas, was accompanied home from Mincha by a local Maggid Shir, who during the previous year tragically lost his teenage daughter in a car accident. And when the man brought up the subject of how a Jew must accept whatever happens as the divine will, Rapam told him that how it happened is really irrelevant. When people would discuss how a certain person died, Rapam said that my mother would say that the person died from Unasana Tokef, the tefillah which we say in Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. There's a beautiful mashal. You know, we say in every Rosh Hashanah, we say, we ask for Chayim, for life. There's a beautiful mashal that captures the seriousness of the reality which we call the Yom Hadin. A man wakes up one morning not feeling too well and goes to the doctor. After asking the patient what his symptoms are, the doctor decides to give him a complete examination. X-rays, followed by a CAT scan, followed by blood and urine work. And right away the patient realizes that what he thought was just a precautionary visit is really a little bit more serious. When the doctor finishes the examination, he says that, you know, I think we ought to bring in a consultant to confer with. And when the consultant arrives, after consulting, they decide, you know, we think it would be best if maybe you were admitted to the hospital and stayed for a few days, and maybe we'll just call in a specialist. Not just any specialist, the biggest in the country. Now the man is really nervous. What started out as a precautionary brief examination by a regular doctor turns into tests, consults, hospital stays, and then the big specialists from the other end of the country. Says the Alta from Kelim, you know, we come into the Yom Hadin, and each of us thinks, yeah, I have a few things to correct. It's probably no big deal. It's precautionary. And then when we realize, we start to say, L'davar Hashem Oiri, in the morning, in the davening, during Elul. We blow the shofar during Elul, after Shacharis. These are some of the consults. And then we take the additional measures. We call in Slichis, Zachreinu L'chaim, Hamalach HaKadosh, Avinu Malkeinu. It's getting a little bit more serious. And then comes the Yom Kippur. We fast. We stay in shul a whole day. We say Ne'ilah, the big specialist. First we have Elul, the Yemei Ratzon, Rosh Hashanah, Shofar, Slichis, and then Hashem himself during the Aser Yemei Teshuva, as the Pasuk says, Dirshu Hashem Bihi Matzoi, seek Hashem when He can be found, Koro B'yois HaKorov, call upon Him when He is near. This indicates that there is a specific time when an individual can find Hashem, Kaviyohol, the great specialist, and call upon Him, and that time is the intense 10-day period between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, because everything, literally everything, is riding on the moments included in those powerful, intense 10 days. That's the Yemei Hadin. The Gemara teaches, V'imru l'fanei b'Rosh Hashanah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says on Rosh Hashanah, recite before me Malchiyos, Zichroinos, V'Shoifros, and Malchiyos, that's God's sovereignty, Kadesh Tamli Chuni Aleichem. Hashem says, so you should accept, you should make me your king, you should accept my sovereignty upon yourselves. There's a story about a mighty warrior who once came to an embattled country and offered to be their king. And although the warrior promised to make the country into a great nation, the people were unconvinced. But rather than asserting his military might, the warrior built roads, developed the country's economy, established a strong security system, and when all was complete, The warrior again asked the nation to recognize him as their king. The people, having seen with their own very eyes that everything the warrior did was only for their benefit, they finally acceded and accepted his rulership. This unique relationship is expressed in the pasuk, Ki Lashem Hamalucha Umoishel Bagoyim. For the kingship, that's the Malucha, is Hashem's, and he rules Umoishel over the Goyim, over the nations of the world. The Vilna Goyin explains that the word Melech from the word Hamalucha, Ki Lashem Hamalucha, applies to Hashem's kingship over Klal Yisrael, over the Jewish nation. Umoishel Bagoyim applies to his sovereignty over the other nations of the world. Because Melech refers to a king whose kingship is accepted by the people. In contrast, the word Moshel refers to the ruler who imposes his rulership over an unwilling people. And how do we show that we want Hashem to be our Melech, that we accept his rulership to rule over us? The answer is we daven. We daven, we make brachas before we eat food, before we do mitzvahs. Tefillah is perhaps the ultimate expression of our recognizing Hashem's presence and power as our Melech. As Rabbeinu Yonah explains, if a person does not recognize Hashem's presence and power, then he really has no reason to daven. For most people, tefillah is an opportunity to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the things that we need. And we call this Bakoshas Tzrochim, asking for the things we need. But there's a whole nother new dimension to tefillah. When a person davens to Hashem, he recognizes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the only source of the blessings. Hashem is the Melech who provides everything. This recognition is fundamental to our faith in God as an active ruler of the universe. And the more we daven, the more we incorporate this belief into our psyche. This is what we call our avodah, our service of Hashem. And there are basic differences between these two reasons to daven. If bakoshes tzorchim were the sole purpose of tefillah, if tefillah is nothing more than a wish list, then it would hardly make sense that we are required to ask Hashem for absolutely everything. After all, we should be permitted to choose the things that we want, to choose the brachas that ask for certain things that we feel we need, and those should be the only things that we daven for, especially in Shemoneh Esrei. And yet the middle brachas of Shemoneh Esrei contain requests for virtually everything. And the poskim, they rule that if a person misses any one of these brachas, he has not satisfied his tefillah obligation. And why should that invalidate the tefillah? The answer is because of the second aspect of tefillah. It's the avodah part. We use tefillah to reinforce our faith. It requires us to recognize Hashem's control, that Hashem is the Melech, and nothing happens without the Melech say-so. And that's why we ask for everything. And when we ask for everything, we recognize Hashem as Melech, which strengthens the avodah in all the aspects of our lives. When we daven to Hashem, we recognize Hashem's role as King in every occurrence, from the grand historical events to the seemingly insignificant personal incidents that affects our lives. If you think about it, close your eyes for a moment and draw a painting of a tree in your mind. Every detail, the fruit growing on the tree, the trunk, the branches, the children playing under the tree, they're all an expression of you because you are the sole creator of that tree. It's all united by a single common thread, you and your thoughts. And if I were to ask you to open your eyes, what happens to the tree? Now the tree is grown, because the tree exists only as you will it to be that way. Not only are you its creator, you're its sustainer as well. Without you, there is no tree. And this mashal helps us to understand God's relationship to his creations. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the sole creator of the universe. By definition, Hashem is continuously creating and sustaining the universe. And just as a shining light is in constant need of electricity, nothing can exist without Hashem's constant will generating it. Cut the current, the light immediately ceases. Every molecule in the universe stems from one single pervasive infinite source. Just as every brushstroke of a Picasso has his signature on it, everything in creation is an expression of the higher infinite dimension of Hashem's will that everything should exist. This understanding that nothing in creation can exist independent of Hashem's will is expressed and is strengthened every time we daven. And yet, surprisingly, although Hashem is our king, in Shemoneh Esrei we don't mention that Hashem is Melech HaOlam. Why are these words, which are considered the essential core of any bracha? After all, in any bracha we say, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam. We acknowledge every time we say a bracha that Hashem is the Melech. Why is it not found in Shemoneh Esrei? And Rav Eli Lapayon gives a beautiful mashal to explain. The mashal is about a king's son. The prince, he speaks before the public gathering. In his address, he never refers to the king as my father. Rather, when speaking in public, he refers to the king as His Majesty the King. However, when the prince comes home, at home, when the son requests his father's help, he doesn't address his king as Your Majesty the King. When the prince is home by his father the king, he calls him father. And if you think about it, said Rav Eli Lapayon, Shemoneh Esrei is a person's private time with the king. It's the time when we, as the king's child, during tefillah, we're not out in the public pronouncing the king's grandeur to the world. In Shemoneh Esrei, we're at home, in shul, telling our father in hushed, almost intimate tones what we need when we say the private, still, quiet Shemoneh Esrei. And as a father, Hashem lovingly ministers to each of his child's needs. And despite our imperfections, He wills and wants to give us what we need simply because we are His children. And that's what the Gemara means when the Gemara says, and when we come to pray, when we come to daven, the Gemara says that we should serve Hashem with awe. And another Gemara says that when we come to daven, and this is brought down by the Ramah and Simon, Sadi Gimel, Se'iv Gimel, that one should approach davening with a feeling of happiness. How can awe and happiness coexist simultaneously? The answer is that the feeling of awe arises from our recognition that Hashem is the Melech over life and everything that is included in life. And yet the joy comes from the knowledge that this Almighty King, the King of Kings, is also our personal Father in Heaven. He's always there in every situation, ready to respond the instant that we, His children, call upon Him. The Gemara tells us about a terrible drought that affected and afflicted Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan Maisa B'Rabbi Eliezer Shegoza Asholosh Esrei Taniyos Al Atzibah V'lo Yodu G'shamim. He instituted 13 fasts on the Tzibur, on the many people of Klal Yisrael, and the rains did not come. Crops were shriveled on their stalks. Widespread famine seemed imminent. And the sages declared a public fast, another one, in an attempt to arouse divine mercy. And the Gemara says, Shuv Maisa B'Rabbi Eliezer again, Sharad L'Fnei HaTeva. He went down on behalf of the people to petition Hashem. V'yomei Esrim V'yava Brachas V'loi Nene. He said 24 brachas designated for the public fasts, and still no rain. So what happened? Yored Rav Akiva Acharav. Rav Akiva came after. The Oman, he said, Avinu Malkeinu, Ein Lonu Melech Elo Ota. We have no king but you. Avinu Malkeinu, Laman Chorachem Aleinu, for on our behalf, for our sake, have compassion on us. The Yardu Geshomim. And the sky filled with clouds, and the rains came down, bringing new life to the crops and to the people. From this incident, we learn the concept of Avinu Malkeinu is the key to praying and bringing divine mercy upon ourselves. And the Abu Draham explains that that is the reason why the custom on public fast days is we open up the Arayin, the Holy Ark, the after Shemoneh Esrei, and we recite. We say these words, Avinu Malkeinu. And this concept is so powerful. It's such a powerful channel for divine favor and mercy. that on the Aseret Yemei Tshuva between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, the pivotal period in determining a person's fate for the coming year, we again say Avinu Malkeinu. Avinu Malkeinu. We say Avinu Malkeinu, it's a central theme on the entire period encompassing the Yom HaNoraim. In the Slichas, recited during the Aseret Yemei Tshuva, we plead to Hashem, Karachem of Albonim, as a father has mercy on his children, so to Hashem, may you have mercy on us. On Rosh Hashanah, when we blow the shofar during the Musaf Shemoneh Esrei, we recite, Yom Hara Soilam, today all creatures of the world stand in judgment. Hayom Yamad Bamishpat, Kol Yitzurei Elamim Im Kavonim Im Kavodim, whether as children of Hashem or as servants. And we plead to Hashem, as children, Rachameinu Karachem Ob Albonim, be merciful with us as the mercy of a father for his children. It's ironic that the father-child connection that one builds with Hashem enhances rather than diminishes the sense of Hashem as Melech, because it illustrates that there are no limits to Hashem's power. As a wise king, he must firmly rule over his subjects. But as a king who is also our loving father, Hashem bears no restraints in showing boundless benevolence and mercy and compassion to his children. You know what the words that conclude the Avinu Malkeinu, the last words of the last Avinu Malkeinu, in fact, it's the last Avinu Malkeinu, it's the last tefillah we say at the very end of the Aseret Yemei Tshuva, during the Ne'ilah tefillah on Yom Kippur. You know what we say? Avinu Malkeinu, Choneinu Vaneinu, have mercy upon us and answer us. Ki ein bonu masim, I have no actions. Aseyim manu tztako v'chesed v'hoshienu. We plead, Hashem, have mercy on us. And if you think about it, it really makes no sense that at the very end of the Ne'ilah, when all is riding perhaps at the very end of the most powerful day of the year, when our judgment for everything is encapsulated in that very last tefillah, we say, Ein banu masim atzei manu tztako v'chesed v'hoshienu. Isn't that a little bit difficult to understand? After all, wouldn't we recite all the wonderful deeds which we do during the year, all the merits, the schusim? Shouldn't we want to say, Hashem, we do tremendous chesed, we have compassion on people, we pray, we give charity, we do all sorts of good deeds, we learn Torah, we send our kids to school, to yeshivas, to Beis Yaakovs. Why do we say, Ein banu masim asei manu tztako v'chesed v'hoshienu, we have nothing in our favor, do charity and benevolence for us? If you think about it, you go for a job interview, and the employer says, I have a great job opportunity, it's going to pay $250,000 salary, no overtime, child care, a wonderful shiur during lunchtime by the greatest speaker that exists in today's day. And we even have a matchmaker, a shadchan, who calls everyone on the staff wondering if they have a son and a daughter who they're looking to make a match, who they're looking to get married. What a wonderful job. And when the potential employer says, what do you have to offer? What do you say? Does it make sense to say, Ein banu masim? I have no experience. I have no education. I have nothing to offer. Ein banu masim atzei manu tztako v'chesed v'hoshienu. So why is that the last of the Avinu Malkeinus? Ein banu masim atzei manu tztako v'chesed v'hoshienu. It makes absolutely no sense that the last of the most powerful tefillah on the most powerful day, when we ask for life for everything, we include none of our merits. Ein banu masim asei manu tztako v'chesed v'hoshienu. You know, when we ask for things, the truth is, as good as we are and as much good as we do throughout the whole year, the Chovos HaLevavos tells us something which is frightening. The Chovos HaLevavos says, ki im hayu ma'aseh ha'odam k'chol hayom b'mispar. If a person's actions would equal the amount of sand by the sea, Lo yeh shokol b'toiva achas. It wouldn't even equal one of the good min atoivas habara yizbarach oilam ba'olam hazeh. It wouldn't come close to the great favor and the goodness that Hashem does for us throughout the whole year. Kol shkein, certainly, yim yeh lo chet, if we sin. And he says, Uma sheyeh migmul haboire, in that which we receive goodness from Hashem, einu magiyeh lo al maaseyu, has nothing to do with the actions that we do. Elohu mechesed haboire olav, it's simply from Hashem's benevolence. How true this is. And the Gemara backs this up. The Gemara says, the Gemara incited that Bezer Meral of Koshim Lezivugin Kakriyas Yamsuf. It's difficult. It's difficult for people to find their match. It's difficult for people to remain married. People from two different parts of the globe. Different menhagim, different customs, different ways of life, different upbringings, different friends, different circles. Different thoughts. And yet, they're supposed to remain married. They're supposed to get married. It's difficult. Kakriyas Yamsuf. And that's not the only difficulty. The Gemara also tells us, in Psachim daf kuf yud chesam and aleph, koshim mezoinois of shalom kakriyas yamsuf. Our panasa, our livelihood, is as difficult as kriyas yamsuf. And the Rashbam tells us, like the splitting of the sea, when the Jews went out of Egypt, nez gadol oisaloi hakadosh baruch hu. It's a big miracle that Hashem does, lamish noisin loy mezoinois. For those to whom he gives livelihood and sustenance, kasha osali Yisrael shekor lahem yamsuf. It's difficult because it goes against nature. It's not within the natural way that everyone finds their own different little pocket, their own different little niche to make a living. This one is a lawyer, this one is an attorney, this one is an accountant, this one is a laborer, this one is a teacher, this one is a consultant. This one is a boss, this one is a worker. Everyone in their own way. And it's not only that, the Gemara tells us. Koshin the kavav shaladam, kiyon amisa kakriyas yamsuf. Literally, the ability to go to the bathroom for the functioning of our body, it's a miracle. Miracles. It's all miracles. Shiduchim, getting married, staying married, our livelihood, our sustenance, in our everyday functioning, they're all miracles. The Chayvus Halvavus is right. The benevolence we receive from Hashem, as good as we are, and Klal Yisrael is wonderful. There's no nation in the world that does chesed like we do, that has kindness to others as we have, that does mitzvahs and gives tzedakah, charity, and learns Hashem Torah and daven. There is no nation. But what we received from Hashem is so out of line with what we do because we receive so much. And yet, Hashem gives us every single day. And you know why? I'd like to go back to the job interview. Imagine you're asking for this wonderful job opportunity, $250,000 in child care and transportation and medical care and a wonderful shear every single day and no overtime. And if the employer asks you, what are your qualifications? The truth is, you really have to have a tremendous level of qualifications to be qualified for such a great job. But what happens if I tell you that this employer is not just a regular employer, that this employer is your father? Then it makes all sense in the world. When you come and you say, I have no qualifications, Dad, I come to you because you're my father and I'm your child. In fact, if you mention any of your qualifications, you know what your father would say? He'd say, I'm not hiring you because of the qualifications, because whatever qualifications you have, there's somebody else that has greater qualifications for the job. I'm hiring you for one reason and one reason only, because you're my child and I'm your father. And a father has compassion for his child, and you need a job. And I love my grandchildren, so therefore I'll give you the job. No overtime, great pay, because I have compassion for you. And that answers the question. Ovinu Malkeinu, we say, at the very end of Ne'ilah, the greatest day, the most powerful tefillah, everything's riding on it. And you know why we say, Ein banu ma'asem ha'seyumanu tztako v'chesed v'hoishienu? It's because he's Avinu Malkeinu. He's the Melech. He has absolute control over everything. Our lives depend on his will. But he's also Avinu. He's our father, and we are his children. So the great merit that we try to earn is really priceless. And therefore, we come as children of Avinu Malkeinu. We come to our Father without a claim, Ein Banu Masim. And we rely totally on our Father's love and compassion. And when we approach Hashem this way, when our prayers emanate from our recognition and from the internalization that he is not only Malkeinu, he has what to give us, and it's totally in his control, but he is Avinu. When it comes from that place in our heart, that is a tefillah. That's what makes Avinu Malkeinu. And why when Rabbi Akiva said the Avinu Malkeinu, the rains came, and the crops grew, and the people lived. It's the same thing that applies to us. And how do we retain that special status? That Hashem should remain our Avinu? How do we retain that status as Hashem's children after centuries of straying from Hashem's path, suffering rebuke, returning and straying yet again? How can we be sure that our Father still wishes to claim we as his children, as his own? And the answer is, our claim is the fact that we remain his children. In fact, if you think about it, precisely at those times when we have strayed, that is when we come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Shmoneh Esrei with the words Avinu, Hashivenu Avinu L'Torasecha. Hashivenu Avinu, bring us back to your Torah. We've strayed. Salach Lanu Avinu Kichotonu. Give us forgiveness because we have strayed. It's especially when a person turns to Hashem as our Father, not because we are deserving, but because Hashem is our Father. Rav Chaim Shmuel Levis once told his students that he would often say a tefillah when he went to visit the Yad Avshalom. And they asked him, wasn't Avshalom evil? Wasn't he a Rasha? Wasn't he trying to kill David HaMelech? And Rav Chaim Shmuel Levis answers with the following Gemara. The Gemara tells us that when Avshalom died, David HaMelech, his father, went up to the top of the building of his throne, to the palace, and he cried 8 times, B'ni, B'ni, B'ni. And the reason why he did that was because a father, no matter who the child is, a father always has compassion for his son. He cried B'ni 7 times to bring Avshalom out of Gehenna, and the 8th time to bring Avshalom into Olam Haba. And that's the Rav Chaim Shmuel Levitz. That's why I come to the Yad Avshalom. Because when I daven, I want to be able to invoke, and I want to be able to infer, to be able to feel, literally, the compassion that Hashem, as our Father, feels, the Avinu Malkeinu. So how do we prepare for the Yom Noraim? In short, the answer is 2 words, Avinu Malkeinu. We're required to recognize Hashem as the Melech. But at the same time, the daunting task to ask Hashem for life, because the Melech provides the life for us, that daunting, frightening task is tempered by the knowledge that Hashem is our Father. And when we view Hashem as our Avinu Malkeinu, it creates a sensory reality in tefillah that makes our trust in Hashem as authentic and as vibrant as our own trust in our own human father. You know, there's no time like Elul. To those whose ears are attuned to the spiritual chords emanating from heaven, the sound of Elul penetrates deeply and stirs the soul to do tshuva and to daven. And to daven and to recognize Hashem as the Avinu Malkeinu. Because it's precisely at the moment when we feel the sting of the harsh justice, the Yemei Hadin, and we all unfortunately know people and tragedies and situations and hardships and difficulties and struggles, we are taught to recognize and to be able to speak to Hashem as Avinu Malkeinu. In fact, we really should try to do this as we prepare in Elul. Every time we say a bracha, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech, we should stop for a moment and reflect that Melech, our life depends on the will of the Melech. And every time we recite Shemoneh Esrei, we should stop for a moment and recognize that we don't mention Hashem as Melech in the beginning of Shemoneh Esrei. It's precisely for the reason that Rav Elul Lapayon mentioned. Because when we come quietly to beseech, to seek Hashem for compassion and mercy, for all the things that we need, it's at that time that we must remember that Ovinu Malkeinu Hashem is not only the Melech, but Hashem is also the Yav. Slach lono Ovinu ki chotonu, Hashivenu Ovinu l'sarasecha, Shema keleinu Hashem elokeinu chus v'rachem aleinu. Hashem should have rachmonis, should have compassion on us, like the Av. And we should all be zoicha to a ksiva v'chsima toiva, a good kibet shior, recognizing that Hashem is not only the Melech, but Hashem is also Avinu Malkeinu.